Hey, welcome to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3 in beautiful Rolla, Missouri. I am your host, the Pitmaster, Lyle Quast, owner and operator of Ring of Fire Barbecue, Food Truck, and Catering at Sullivan. As usual, in the studio is my co-host and producer, Colin Fisher. You can join me every Saturday at 9 a.m. right here on Mid-Mo's ESPN 107.3 or online at ESPN1073.com to listen to any of our previous shows. You got something you'd like to add to the show, give us a call at 573-364-1045 or text us at 573-BBQ-BBQ-9. This first segment of the Mid-Mo Smoke Show is brought to you by Peterson Oil and Asphalt, family-owned and filling propane in Sullivan and surrounding areas since 1934. You can now pre-order your propane, and working with Peterson Oil is a blast. All right, speaking of Peterson Oil, our guest today is Shane Carey, with works in the office there at Peterson Oil. Welcome, Shane. And what is your title?
Yeah, that's a good question. Whatever they need, whenever they need it, I guess.
Oh, so you're the jack of all trades.
Yeah.
I know the feeling.
Master of none.
Sometimes that's not a bad thing. It's job security.
Yeah, you're right.
So
keeps me busy, I guess.
And so, you know, we were saying in our segment promo that Peterson Oil now has the pre-buy.
Yeah. This is, this is a good time to go ahead and get your propane figured out for the winter. You know, you can't promise that the prices will always be lower now, but generally speaking, if you go ahead and pre-buy all of your gas up front now, that gas will be delivered between, you know, October and before April, which is when you're going to use the high majority of all of your propane.
Right.
Because, you might have some other appliances on there. I'm sure we're going to be talking about cooking today with propane
right.
and stuff, but most of the propane you're going to use is going to come from your heating. So.
Right. Yeah, well, like in my house, I got the heater and the water heater, which to me, I think is better.
It's
quicker recovery.
Absolutely. And there's really nothing. It will, especially for heating your home, to be able to control it, like with the thermostat, you know, some people use wood heat and that doesn't get nice and hot, but whenever it's hot, then sometimes you got to start opening your windows up.
Yeah.
You know, there's really no way to turn it down. And when you get home, and it's cold with electric, you're going to be cold for a little while.
And you're really going to watch your meter,
Yeah, exactly.
Because the electric meters, they like to take off running in the wintertime.
They sure do. And it's hard to explain that because propane, you usually buy, 200 or 300 gallons at a time.
Right.
And you're not paying for your electric bill 3 or 4 months in advance.
Right.
You know, you're paying, they split that up for you. So we have come up with a couple of programs to help, offset the cost. So you're still paying for some of your heating throughout the summer. We have budget billing or level pay as well, which is similar to how you would be with electric heating as well. So,
right.
We split it up into 11 different payments. And then we just automatically deliver to you. You don't even have to worry about it.
Well, it's just like they do with the electric anymore, like you said.
Yeah.
You got your budget billing and stuff.
Right.
So, we're very thankful that Peterson Oil has decided to sponsor our show. I know Don does a lot of stuff in the Sullivan area.
Yeah, he's pretty heavily involved.
Yes, he is. And, people that don't know him very well would not know, that he owns the oil company or whatever, because most owners, when you see them, they're real nice and clean. Not him. He's in there with the rest of them. He's getting his hands dirty.
Yeah.
And
especially this time of year with our oil season going on, he's usually covered in oil.
Yes. Yeah. But I got to say, he's got some fantastic people working in the office. And I've had the privilege with my catering company to cook for you guys a few times.
And we've had the privilege of eating it, so.
It works out really good,
yeah.
It's just become a little family-like sort of deal. And, what's the easy part is he brings in all these 4-H steers and stuff that he buys.
Yeah, he really goes out of his way to make sure he gets he hits up all of the community fairs in the area. And he's kind enough to share a lot of that meat with us. Well, and you've cooked.
And it's real easy to cook, too. You put that stuff on, you don't worry a bit about it. Inject it, rub it, and when you're slicing it, it just slices so pretty when you see the meat slicing, the way the the fat has gone away.
Yeah.
And it's so tender.
Do you find that it's the 4-H steers and stuff, do you like that better than if you were to go to like a butcher?
Oh, absolutely.
You really do?
Yes.
Yeah. Is it fattier? Well, or?
It's got the meat's marbled so much better. And you know, sometimes you're going to get, you know, one that's a little leaner or something that trimmed a little more off it, but it's so marbled that it just, I mean, it just falls apart when you get it done.
You can see the care taken with the animal, you know, the individual raising versus like a farm.
Right.
You know.
And you can taste the difference.
Yeah.
You know, grain-fed steers are a whole lot different than grass-fed.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's talking about doing the grass-fed right now and stuff. I'll take a grain-fed steer over grass anytime.
Yeah, I think I've had both. They do have slightly different flavors, but I do get to what you're saying. It is a little more marbled with the grain.
And the 4-H steers, they don't do a lot of walking.
No.
So they are very tender, let me tell you. And same with the hogs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I've had the opportunity to cook some of your pork shoulders and stuff. Easiest stuff in the world to cook.
Absolutely.
So, all right, well, let's get in on and talk a little bit about aspect of your propane, what you do for the cookers and stuff like that. You know, you fill the little tanks, don't you?
Yeah, we fill the 20, 30, 40 pound cylinders. And you know, we try to make sure that there is, you know, a safe spot. So I guess you did want to speak a little bit about safety. You know, I think most people, if you're using the propane cylinders, you know, to make sure you're opening the lid on your barbecue pits while you're lighting it. Make sure your igniter's working. If not, quickly get one of those extended lighters in there. Because those igniters, you know, it's just an electric spark. And if it's not close enough to that metal, it's not going to make that connection. So, you know, a lot of times you do have to use those lighters. I've had plenty of them go bad. We do recertify those cylinders also at no charge.
Oh, really?
So there's regulations that once every – well, from the date of purchase on those DOT cylinders like that, it's 12 years. And then they have to be recertified once every 5 years. So, and they've really started cracking down on that. They had some people – not in Missouri, but some – larger competitors of ours have had some lawsuits against them. So, you know, if you need your cylinder recertified, if you go to one of those exchanges, they do go ahead and give you a certified cylinder. The only thing with that is generally you're going to get a little bit less propane in your tank. And sometimes they're even more expensive.
They are.
Which I get why they do it. You know, they got to transport those things. But if you're looking to go ahead, you know, if you're a barbecue master or, you know, you're cooking a lot, your best value is going to be a refill.
Right.
You know.
Well, you know, I've got the food truck, so you guys fill my tank on my food truck.
Yeah.
And the great part was...
That's where that lawsuit came from, was a food truck in California.
Was it really?
Yeah, they didn't recertify it, and it was on the inside. Remember, we were real serious about making sure yours was safe.
Right.
You know, and they'd put theirs on the inside.
And you guys tested my system, you know, and made sure everything was right, and you have to do that every year.
Yeah.
And I would hate to see what a 100-pound bottle or a 50-pound bottle would do to the inside of a food truck if it exploded.
Right. And you know, propane's mostly safe as long as you are paying attention. And there's really rarely are there any dangerous, you know, experiences with propane. And it's usually due to not keeping up with the equipment.
Right.
And that's usually due to a lack of resources because, oh, it's too expensive, you know, water heaters or furnace. Furnaces, not so much. Usually it ends up being the water heaters people really have troubles with. So if you think that your water heater, I'm going to make a public service announcement right now. If you think your water heater in any way, shape, or form is getting old, have it checked out by a professional rather than trying to get it done yourself.
Right.
So.
And that's, but you know, when you're talking about propane cookers, a lot of people, they, you know, you got your problems and stuff like that. It's no different than charcoal. You know, we got people that don't know anything about how to use charcoal and stuff like that.
Dump a bunch of lighter fluid on there, throw a match, whoosh.
Well, I know one guy that actually lit his charcoal grill, and he wanted to barbecue, and it was too cold outside, so he brought his little hibachi or whatever that little round drum is, the kettle cooker, brought it in the house.
The wok?
Well, it was kind of like the wok, but it was a kettle drum.
Oh, man.
He brought it into the house to barbecue. All of a sudden, fire department's getting a call. And it wasn't in Sullivan, but it was another town close because of carbon monoxide. Well, he thought it was his furnace was bad. Didn't look and see that he was burning charcoal inside the house. You know, it's kind of like that should go ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, I mean, when your house is filling up with smoke, you'd think something.
Yeah, I mean, it smells great. Don't get me wrong. It right. does smell great.
I like cooking with charcoal, too. It is easier, I think, and you can probably speak to this more than me, to control with propane.
Propane's a lot easier.
It's easier to control, for sure.
So, I mean, but, you know, that's the thing about our society. There are certain things or something is a very big benefit, and then there's certain things for... You know, where other things can take over. It's each as your own preference, you know.
Yeah. I even know some people who, you know, we have, I guess we should say, Peterson Oil, we set both commercial and residential tanks at your home. You know, we come out, we fill your tank up. There are some people who barbecue so much that we've had to hook their, you know, their heating tank up to their barbecue pits.
No kidding.
Yeah, they use it a lot. And outside, which I love cooking outside because... Then you don't have like the, well, not only the carbon monoxide, but just the smell in general.
And you don't have to clean up inside hardly.
No clean up. You just shut the lid and come back later.
Well, like for my, I'm a strictly wood burner. That's all I do with mine.
Yeah.
But I do use propane to start it because I have a blowtorch, which I put in my firebox.
Yeah.
And that's how I start my wood. So, okay, we need to take a quick commercial break. Coming up in segment two, Shane Carey will be back, and we're going to talk more propane safety, and he's going to discuss a new grill coming out. So make sure you stay tuned to ESPN 107.3. You're listening to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I'm Lyle Quast, and we'll be right back. Hey, welcome back to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3. This segment is brought to you by Huddle House in Cuba, home of the Huddle Up Rewards Program. Huddle up and hurry into your Cuba Huddle House today at any meal, anytime. And we are back with Shane Carey from Peterson Oil, and we're going to keep talking about, you know, propane safety and what their job is to help you make sure that you do it right. Because if you're like me, you don't know everything, and it's always good to know you got a pro standing by that if you need a question answered, there they are. So, Shane, when we left the first time, we were talking about, you know, the differences in the propane and how things are different. There's a good way to look at it. I watch a lot of these Barbecue Pitmaster shows. And one team that sent in their video to get on the show, they actually took a propane grill and they had a long enough line to it anyhow where they could put propane and fill it up. Well, then they sent a spark through there. I've seen what can happen when you get a buildup of propane and a spark hits. It blew that whole cooker to pieces, which is what they wanted to do. But we don't want people out there standing on their back porch and all of a sudden they're flying.
Yeah, luckily they've come up with the new cylinders. You can't overfill them. You could turn them on. They're not going to leak. So that's kind of what I was saying earlier about making sure you have an updated cylinder. A lot of those, the 20-pound cylinders, the little ones for your barbecue pit, you switch those out a lot. But if you steal one off of, like, your RV, those 30-pounders, people don't like to give those up because they hold a little more.
Right.
So make sure that has the updated valve on it. And, I mean, we can switch them out. They're, like, $20. It's pretty quick and easy to do. So you just got to purge the propane out and put a new OPD valve on there. And they're safe.
Well, it's well worth it.
Yeah.
$20 is a lot cheaper than, you know, paying for a funeral or doctor bills or anything else. I know you did that to my food truck.
Yeah.
Because there was an older bottle on my food truck.
Yeah, we don't like messing with those older bottles.
And so you guys took the valves off, you know, got everything.
Yeah.
And I can lay mine down and open it up, and it will not leak. I mean, I haven't tried it, but that's what I've been told.
No, it's and that is true because we've dealt with them a lot, and those valves just don't leak. If you're smelling, what you think is propane, it's actually an additive they put in there.
Right.
Ethyl mercaptan, you know, it stinks. It's some stinky stuff.
Yeah. And
if you're smelling that at all, shut the valve off. Take it to a professional.
Well,
that's the same in your home, too. You know, if you run out of propane, a lot of times that stuff will you know, you can start smelling that in your home.
Right.
So the best way to avoid running out of gas is to get on our Keep Full program, where we automatically deliver to you. It is, I mean, you're not going to go out and check your tank at 3 a.m. on a Friday.
Right.
But that does mean that we're going to have to come out there at 3:45 on a Friday to come make sure that you have some propane because it's going to be cold.
Right.
And I don't want to plug too much. I know we're a barbecue show here, but of course, I'm going to have to plug for Peterson. One good thing about us is we don't charge any extra fees, provided that you weren't responsible for checking your tank.
Right.
And we may have to charge you a delivery fee or something if it's after hours and you've run out of propane. But I do encourage everybody this time of year to go ahead and start up their furnaces, everything before, you know, winter gets here. And also check with your current provider to make sure that you can see the price per gallon that you're getting charged. They should be able to tell you how many gallons you bought last year and to see what the price per gallon is going to be for the upcoming year. If they can't tell you that, or if you can call them right now and no one answers their phone, give us a call in Sullivan and we'll get you set up.
Well, I know it used to be. I don't know if it still is. Say if somebody runs out of propane, that means the pilot lights went out. Do you guys
get in there? Yeah, absolutely. It's it's a requirement. Every time someone runs out, we do have to do a safety inspection on that,
which is good.
It is good. And the problem is a lot of the times when people are running out, it's the coldest part of the year.
Well,
we've got a lot of other deliveries. So, you know, you're making it harder for other people to get propane. And then, you know, you are going to get charged a little bit of an extra fee for us having to stop and then come into your home. Well, also, someone's going to need to be there because we've got to come into the home.
That's it. Well, and, you know, I know people are probably listening going, this is not to do with barbecue. But, yes, it is. When you talk about all the aspects of safety, and that is something that Colin and I have talked about a bunch of times on the show, I want people to stick around and listen to the show. You know what I'm saying? And, yeah, maybe we are sounding like a public service announcement, but I want people to be safe out there. I want to be safe.
But don't be scared of propane.
No.
Well, look at it this way. If you freeze to death in the winter, you can't barbecue in the summer.
Exactly. There you go.
There it is.
And I'm going to tell you something. My daughter, she lives down in Springfield. She listens to the show on her computer because she can, you know, come back. There's a lot of things she did not know that she was real thankful that we broadcast it on here, and that's what we're doing today. You know, there's a lot of things. So, but one thing I want to talk to you too about, Shane, is that cooker you were talking about, that gas cooker.
Yeah, that it's the way I try to explain it to people. It's a Holland grill. I don't know. Have you ever cooked on one?
No, I haven't.
No, it's a smoker for people who barbecue, and it's a barbecue pit for people who smoke. It's a set it and forget it type deal. In our family, we use it a lot. Well, and then they sell them down there at Jerry's.
Right.
You know, stop by there and get a Holland grill. No, that's, how many plugs am I going to get in? It's a great little cooker. It's propane. It's easy to use. It's one temperature or two temperatures.
Right.
So you don't. It's basically cooks between 350 and 600, but it'll find its temperature in there. We've cooked everything. Steaks, chicken, everything. You shut the lid, you come back, and it's done.
Now, does this have, like, wood pellets that you add to it flavor?
There are several different models, and one of them you can do the wood pellets, so for to get the smoky,
right,
you know, smokiness to it. Then they also have ones with, like, an additional, they call them a sear mate on the side.
Okay.
So, and we'll be talking, I guess, here in a little while about a few recipes and such, and that's, you know, it's like a front sear or a reverse sear. It's great It's great to have that on the side just to get that additional, you know, that burnt, combusted, smoky taste.
That's what people, a lot of people don't know what the reverse sear is, and that's where you put it on and let it smoke for a little bit, and then you crank the heat and get the crust on there and bake all the juices in. Actually, that is pretty darn good.
Yeah, it's. I've been moving more towards that. I started cooking with a lot of pork, you know, ribs.
Right.
I started reverse searing them, and then with some wild game, venison mostly.
Right.
Started doing that, and it's been pretty good.
Hey, we're getting close to that hunting season.
I mean,
there should be some itchy fingers going on right
now.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. I got a new bow yesterday. I'm pretty excited about
Well, I'm looking forward to dove season. That's my favorite time.
Oh, that's the same day, September 15th.
Right.
That's the same day as archery season, so.
And that's another thing, you know, we got a Bill Cooper hosts, what is it, Living the Dream?
Wild at Heart.
Wild at Heart, sorry. And I want to get him in here one day, and we're going to talk all wild game recipes that you can do.
I bet he's got some good ones.
Oh, he does. He's got a whole cookbook out. And I think people, that's something we're going to work on for the future, so stay tuned. We don't know exactly when it's going to happen. I got to coordinate it with him. But, you know, that's another thing, that wild game. People, you know, get scared to cook.
It's so good, though.
Oh, it is.
It's so good.
And because, lean, you know, wild game's lean. You don't have the fat. There's not that supposed wall of, you know, where you're going to make a mistake. But it's easy to do once you just take a chance and try it.
Yeah. One thing with lean meat, you can always fry it, and it's still delicious.
Oh, absolutely. But I have found a way for, like, I do deer hindquarters.
Mm-hmm.
I actually melt down suet, which is beef talon and stuff like that, get it liquefied, and inject it into the meat. It's like there's been layers of fat in there then.
How long do you... Just inject it, and then you're ready to cook?
Yep, that's it. And, oh, my gosh, that makes such a difference.
Yeah, I mean, a lot. You know, if you end up making burger with it or something, you know, you mix, like, 10% pork fat or even...
And sausage, the same thing?
Sausage, the same thing, yeah.
But I found that out about... And I do the ribs, too, on a deer now.
I've never tried that. I've seen it. It just seems like they are so lean. There's not so much. Have you had success with that?
Yeah, and it don't take long. I mean,
oh, I bet not.
You figure deer ribs, there's not a whole lot of meat, but people say, oh, I'll trim them up. Oh, no, I'll smoke them. That way you get every bit of meat. Delicious. Tender.
Is it delicious?
Yeah, you just got to make sure you cut the bullet hole out first.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and you know, that's the good part about this show. You're coming in. You've got your prospect. You know, this is how I do my cooking.
Yeah.
Just because I'm, you know, me and Colin are on the radio doesn't mean to say we're 100% right. We are willing to learn on anything. And some of the best cooks in the world have taught me how to barbecue and what to look for. And luckily, I'm able to pass some of that down to my daughter and stuff. She's doing really well. But I'm always eager to learn. Matt over here, our station manager. I got to admit, I probably shouldn't say this on the air, but that guy makes absolutely the best jalapeno poppers you've ever eaten. I mean, they are just outrageously good. I could eat 2 dozen of them and not even worry.
Yeah, I love jalapeno poppers.
Oh, he makes some great ones. And, you know, he does it in the ugly drum. But, Shane, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to discuss what's going on with the KCBS. And keep Shane here. We're going to keep talking safety and learn some of his tips maybe. So we need to take another break. We're coming up in segment 3. We'll hear more from Shane, and we'll be back. What's going on in the Barbecue Society? Make sure you keep your dial right here on ESPN 107.3. You're listening to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I'm Lyle Quast. We'll be right back.
Give me fuel. Give me fire. Give me that which I desire.
Hey, welcome back to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3 or online at ESPN1073.com. I am your host, Lyle Quast. And we're going to start now with what's going on in the barbecue side in our area. That is sponsored by Cowtown USA in Cuba. Your next UTV or ATV is only one click away at CowtownUSAInc.com. And let's see, I think today we've got...
We've made a bit of a change to the format for this segment. So last week, obviously, Lyle had a bit of car troubles.
Right.
So Matt and I presented the show, and what I've done here is thrown up the dollar amounts on the prizes for the specific events going on so you can see what you can win potentially at these competitions.
Actually, you know, that's some pretty good money involved too.
Mm-hmm.
How do I get involved in this? Look at that money.
Well, I think
right there, you got a pamphlet that says
I believe we had one last week. It was up around $5,000, but it was amateurs only.
Yeah, it was that backyard cooking.
Yeah, backyard only.
Yeah, and that's something that you might want to think about, Shane. We've got Smokin' Trackside Barbecue Bash in Winston, Missouri. That's a KCBS. That's $4,000. And the great part is, if anybody, Winston's really not that far away. They had to run up and say hi to Rich and Bunny. They were on our show, yeah. Rich and Bunny Tunnel.
Yeah, that is. They are the KCBS reps for that one.
Yes. And then we also got the Route 66 Barbecue Throwdown in Springfield, Missouri. And that's $5,000 payout. I guess I know where my daughter will be today. The third annual Chillin' and Grillin' for the Boys in Blue at Marine, Illinois. That's a St. Louis Barbecue Society. But that's good money, too, $5,500.
Mm-hmm. I think I saw one coming up in a few months that was sitting at $10,000.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, and if people don't think there's a lot of money involved, go out, win a contest so you get it to the Invitational at the Royal. The guy that wins takes home a little over $30,000. And that's not split up. That's his. I mean, I think there's like $2 million in prize money for the Royal. I may be wrong about that, but I'm thinking that's what it is.
Staggering.
It is. And, you know, then you can go straight from the Royal to the Jack Daniels and win another $100,000.
That wouldn't be a bad way to go about things.
No, heck no. You know, maybe we can get Shane involved in this and he can put Sullivan on the map for being the top cook in the.
You'd have to teach me how to cook.
From the sounds of it, you got a pretty good start with that grill you get. You know, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was interesting. I was looking at the HollandGrill.com during the break, and it's. I'm not quite sure what exactly it is. So it kind of presents itself as sort of the jack of all trades, that sort of stuff. But I wonder if you could go into more what makes this more distinct from, say, a pellet cooker versus this and versus just your typical propane cooker.
Well, it is unique in the sense that, well, in my experience at least, it's easier to use. It's for more people, not just, you know, a professional cooker or something.
Right.
See, that was the appeal of the Pit Boss that my parents got was as a pellet cooker. For a smoker, it is incredibly easy to use because it cooks mostly like an oven. You just set the temperature and wait.
Yeah, that's...
Is that basically what this one's like?
That's what this one is, too. And I mean, like I've said, cook steaks, chicken wings, everything on it, and it's... You just shut the lid.
Now, has it got a programmable temperature, or is it just...
You just turn this thing on.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
And it's all propane.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one thing about it, it's going to be clean burning. There's not going to be nearly the mess to clean up.
Yeah, there's no flare-ups.
No. And so, you know what? It's worth a try to take a look at. We got nothing to lose but, you know, getting to be better cooks.
I love the names on these. There's there's the Apex, the Epic, the Freedom, the Independence, the Liberty, and the Smokehouse. And then there's the KC Pellet.
Now, what's that smokehouse? Is that a smoker or is it a grill?
Let's check it out. It's a wood-fired smoker, so interesting. When your recipe calls for smoke, our new smokehouse wood-fired smoker is the answer. Built in the USA, this sturdy workhorse, that is one of the things that they have emphasized, is that it is looks pretty high quality built, and it's U.S. manufactured, so that is
definitely... That's a plus right there.
Certainly. So, built in the USA, this sturdy workhorse will make your weekend cooking project a snap. It also doubles as a charcoal grill with the included charcoal pan, new from Holland and ready for you.
Well, there you go. You know what? What more could be more fun? You're learning how to smoke. You're going out there. You're cooking like a pro. Hey, everything's a plus. Me wound up, I'm going to get put out of business with my catering company. All these guys buying these new grills and everything.
Yeah, teach a man to fish, you know.
That's exactly it, you know. But that is good, though. Because right now, we're at our point in KCBS where we've got a lot of teams that are starting to age. Not that they're old. I'm not saying that by any means. But sooner or later, they're going to retire from competition. We need some young people to step up, fill their shoes, take over from them, you know. And it's like anything else. If you don't have the young people involved, it's going to go away.
Well, and for cooking itself, you know, competition's always going to breed better food.
Absolutely.
And everybody likes better food. I know I do.
And better food and better pricing, too.
Right. And it's refreshing to see how many new options there are.
Yes.
Either new options, but it's just so varied because you can do a stick burner. You can do an ugly drum or something like that. And ugly drums are becoming incredibly attainable because you can buy a kit for $85.
Right.
And so then you've got pellet smokers for somebody who just wants to, you know, buy pellets because the different flavors, they're fantastic. My dad has been, you know, really hitting this cherry wood that he's got. And so then you've got these Holland grills, which doubles as charcoal, and you've got propane. So you've got more options, and it's a versatile tool. And so for everybody's different style or preference, they can find something that fits for them and fits their lifestyle, not to sound like an ad.
Well, you know, and the neat part is it's kind of like getting like a car commercial. You know, you've got your low-end little Ford Focus, and then you can go up to these big Escalades and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're getting with smokers.
Right, and I like the modular design of some of them.
Right.
In that you can get your basic foundation and then build from that and not only customize it to the utility that you're seeking, but customize it to your own, you know, flair, whatever you want to do. Like those ugly drums that, what was his name, Stephen Powell makes. Some of those are just utterly beautiful, and
It looks. You want to set it on the mantle and not use it?
Oh yeah, it just looks too pretty to use.
Yes, and you know that's a great part. I'm going to customize my pull behind smoker.
Yeah,
I'm going to get it sandblasted, repainted, and we're going to customize it. I don't know what we're going to do. Mm. That's my daughter's deal. So
you need to figure out how to put a ring of fire on it.
Well, I would like to be able to have that sitting on the very top and kind of like a doorstop.
Mm-hmm.
That would look pretty neat going down the road.
Yeah. If you could figure out how to bring your logo to life on top of the smoker, it'd be...
Oh, I'd be awesome if you could animate it where it looks like it flames out.
You could get one of those like spinning LED things.
Right. And you know, there's another thing.
Yeah.
You know, not only cars can be customized.
Oh.
There's a guy, Jamie Gear, Jambo Pitts. You ought to see some of the pits he has made for people and elaborate paint schemes he's put on them. I mean, it's unreal. 3D, real depth.
Yeah, I'd be amazed. I wouldn't be that surprised if before long we started seeing sort of a Pimp My Ride for smokers.
I'd take mine to it in a heartbeat.
Fantastic. Well, it'd be cool if they did it like they stole it and made you think that it was taken or whatever and surprised it.
Like Overhauling does?
Yeah.
That show Overhauling?
Yep.
But you know what? Why couldn't we send that into these people that are doing these car deals and say, hey, see what you can do with it?
A lot of, you know, Frank Cox is a manufacturer, works in food equipment and those sorts of things. And so that's where most of his tools, equipment, expertise comes from. And so you could imagine an auto body shop would be able to, I'd be interested to like shell out maybe a Mazda Miata and make a smoker out of it.
Let me tell you, I know a guy that's done it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He took the front end of a 57 Chevy.
Ooh.
And the hood, that was his lids for the smoker and everything.
Fantastic.
Oh, it is so sharp. He put customized Krager wheels on it and everything.
Yeah.
It looks good. So, who knows? One day we might see, you know, the Shane Carey cooking team going down the road.
Yeah, I have to get customized first.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
But, you know, and we're talking about how we want people to step up and come in. Next year, we are in the planning stages right now of doing a Pro-Am competition where you bring professionals in and team them up with amateurs. Each one's going to have their own turn-in box. Each one's going to have their own criteria to be judged. But give people a chance to cook with the good guys, learn some stuff, and win some prizes. And that's the plan for next year, you know. So, folks, you know, you got to stay tuned to find out when we're going to do this. And so I guess we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to have Shane give us his recipe that he brought in, and it's going to be the recipe of the week. So you're listening to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3 or online at ESPN1073.com. I'm Lyle Quast, and we'll be right back. Hey, Hey, welcome back to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I'm your host, Lyle Kwas, and this segment of our show is brought to you by Wind Supply in Rolla, offering the best prices and selection on Traeger pellet cookers and Milwaukee tools. That's Wind Supply of Rolla, located on Twitty Drive in Rolla. And now it's time for the recipe of the week, and this is brought to you by Timber Charcoal, making outstanding hardwood lump charcoal for over 40 years and available at Cox Brothers in St. James. And for the recipe, we are going to turn this over to Shane Carey, and he's brought us a wild game recipe for this week.
Yeah, well, deer season's, what, a month and a week away?
Something like that, yeah.
I have been craving some red meat from a white-tailed deer. So, well, talking about the Holland Grill we had, I've cooked on that a lot. This recipe is from the loin of the deer. You know, a lot of people like to steak them out into small ones and fry them, or, you know, but this one requires you to give a pretty big chunk of the, well, you could use any steak on the deer, but loin is, you know, the most tender.
Most
taste.
Tender, yeah.
So it's a real simple recipe. Salt, pepper, garlic powder.
Okay.
Season the piece of meat. And then we were talking earlier about the reverse sear, right?
Right.
So since whitetail is so lean, you don't really want to get it up into that 150 range. You know, you're like 125. You're going to need it medium rare or it's going to be real tough.
Right.
And that's where a lot of people, you know, they don't like the wild game because they don't like medium rare red meats. But if you don't like medium rare meat, don't eat wild game.
That's right.
Well, wild red meat, at least. So, and I can give you a couple ways where I have figured out people who don't like the medium rare, how to make it not be red on the inside and still be tender. But this one is you grill it 25, 30 minutes on either the Hung Grill or any of the smoker pellets or anything.
Right.
And then give it a nice reverse sear, either with some vegetable oil in an iron skillet, or if you have the Holland Grill, the sear made on the side with some butter.
Right.
Grass-fed butter. I know you don't like the grain-fed. And then let it sit for a little while. Like always with, you know, steaks or anything, give it a, you know, 10, 15 minutes. And you can throw another stick of or a few slices of butter on there, melt it down as
right.
well. And it's real simple, and it is absolutely delicious.
Well, do you baste it during cooking time or anything?
No.
No, just let it cook.
Just let it cook. And then I do add, like I said, just a little bit of the butter on top to let it melt down in there, get a little bit more tender. But
right.
It's
sounds
lean,
pretty good.
Lean, organic, and delicious.
Well, there you go.
Found right here in Missouri.
Well, you know, that's something, like you said, there's no reason you can't do it with just regular beef.
Yeah.
The only shame is there's only so many loins on a deer, you know.
Yeah.
I'm thinking since it has four legs, it ought to have that many loins, too. It would make it go a lot better.
If evolution were run by Lyle.
Absolutely. You tell you what, we would have the biggest supply of steaks.
Oh, yeah.
Let me test tube some steers and
cows would be 20 feet tall.
Well, I guess they're trying to grow just meat in labs now.
Right. We actually talked about that. We did an episode on, interestingly enough, vegan barbecue. And so the interesting thing with cultured meat, and so far they've only managed to do beef, is that some vegetarians or vegans that I've spoken with have talked about that their main concern is ethical,
sure.
and therefore if it were grown in a lab and cruelty-free naturally and didn't actually come from an animal, they would have no objection to eating it. So it would be an interesting way to sort of totally revitalize an entire segment of a market.
Yeah.
The question is, naturally, the different cuts, especially on a cow, come from the location on the body. It has to do with the anatomy and physiology of how the muscles are working and it develops the tissue.
Right.
So the question is, can you do that with cultured meat?
Exercise the meat constantly.
Could you somehow figure out how to get those specific striations? Do you electrolyze it or something like that? But
would you try it?
I'd try it because I think it would be perfect for stuff like hamburger patties or something like that, because it'd just be just for fast food purposes, something like that. And I think once it becomes a cheaper alternative, it will be interesting to see how the U.S. market in particular reacts.
I think it would do to land values. there'd be no need for
farmers
anymore. There's a lot of weird implications.
Right, so it's really interesting to see where it could go. Right now, it's pretty much all just theory, but I do wonder about that. Could you grow a filet mignon, or are you just growing beef?
If you set
beef?
Two side by side, actual lot, could you taste the difference?
Who knows?
I'd do a test tube steer that had, 15 briskets on it, so it wouldn't cost me so much. Throw about 3 or 4 loins in there, walk on 2 legs, and forget about the hindquarters.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know it sounds...
I don't want to end up eating like this gray drool in about 30 years and we just assume that's what meat is supposed to be anymore, though.
Yeah, but the sad part is we're going to get to the age where that's probably how we're going to eat anyway. Bring it out of the blender and stuff.
Right.
You know.
Yep.
Drink our steaks.
Yeah.
Yeah, from Wally, they just had the food slurpees or whatever.
Yeah, there you go. And I can say one thing. And I forgot to say this earlier. I want to thank Colin and Matt for putting up and doing my show last week. I was kind of detained where I didn't have a vehicle to get here. Basically what it was.
Yeah, I'll tell you. That Friday evening call when Matt is just like, oh, hey, so we got this. I was like, all right. So.
Yeah, well, I was sitting there. I didn't sleep a whole lot Friday night thinking that I had blowed up my motor. But anyhow, I want to thank you guys. I listened to the show. You did excellent as far as I'm concerned. You sucked it up, did it like a pro. I was a little worried there. I'm thinking maybe I was going to get kicked to the curb because, you guys did good. But that's the way you guys were discussing about these best places to eat.
That was an interesting article. Just it's interesting to see the different standpoints and viewpoints of other people and the priorities that people look for in barbecue, especially from a commercial setting. It's interesting to see how those vary because obviously you, as a competition cooker, as a food caterer, are going to look at the quality of the food that you receive far differently than someone who's just on vacation trying to get a quick meal or something like that. And to some extent, I'd say to each their own, and if this is what you like, even if it's not, if people like ribs that fall off the bone, if they like it overcooked, then so be it. That's just how they like it.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily,
doesn't make it wrong.
Right. I don't really care for people.
It makes it wrong to you.
Well, yeah.
Sure. But I'm just not a fan of people saying someone shouldn't like something because it doesn't fit some criteria or something like that. If it's good food, eat it.
Well, that's it. And, with me being in the catering business, I have learned what people like to eat and how they like to eat.
Right. That's the thing. You could prepare the best dish ever, and it just culinarily and technically it's so sound and perfect. But if people don't want to buy it and eat it.
That's right.
It's going to go by the wayside. So.
Exactly. And I will say this. Competition cooking is completely different than restaurant cooking.
Certainly. So the first person who figures out how to effectively get made-to-order competition-level barbecue is going to be a millionaire.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Could you, with ribs and stuff, just watching it, of course, I haven't been involved in it. I don't think I could eat 12 competition ribs.
Well, the way that is
it just looks so rich.
They are. But, the sauce, a lot of people look at it, that's a glaze. I like to use it as a term, optical illusion.
It looks like it should be in the display, like the plastic display somewhere.
Yeah.
And you look at it, you stop and figure, each judge, that's why they tell you got to put 6 pieces of meat in a case. So they're getting 6 different sets of ribs. And you got to distinguish between them and all. And some of them are coming in there pretty meaty. So you are eating good. And the thing is, you're not just eating the ribs. Then you go on, you have the chicken, you have the pulled pork, you have the brisket. By the time the day's over, if they just slap a vegetable on the side, you got a perfect dinner.
Yeah.
Man, that sounds good. You did give me some information on how to learn how to be a judge in here.
Oh, absolutely. That's another thing that we are doing. We have talked to Rich and Bunny Tuttle, and we are getting the information together to start for barbecue judges in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to hold a class where people can come in and be certified. And during the class, you actually do get to eat good and bad barbecue because they arrange it that way.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
So do you get like a little like license or badge or something that you get to show to your friends whenever you go to a restaurant and be all...
You actually get a card.
Really? Because I would...
What's the operating authority on this?
It's called the Kansas City Barbecue Society Certified Judge.
Oh, I'm getting...
See, I would, like, every time I went to Super Smokers or whatever, I'd go to pay just, oh, sorry, that's not my card. That's my barbecue judge's license.
Yeah, that's kind of like dropping names, ain't
it? It's just like, oh, yes, I'm going to expert. Yeah.
And I guess, you know, when you go in there, you say, hey, you know, I am an expert judge. I'm certified. This is not barbecue. Then we're going to go track down all them restaurants where they put on that one website and let them know it.
Yeah, it was interesting because, yeah, it was not – I clicked on the author, and she's – maybe she can't be 30 yet.
Yeah, so
and she likes to Snapchat. She has a BA in journalism from a university in New York. So it's quite the different background from.
I'm kind of thinking there's probably more of a BS. You know,
she's a vegan.
That's it. She thinks smoked tofu is high on the list.
Yeah,
but I mean, when you guys were talking about them, it's like, holy cow, the most obvious ones are right out there, and nobody's even saying anything about them.
It was interesting because it seemed like they were trying to cover most of the United States. So that it was kind of like, all right, let's get at least one or two from each state. So there were a few that I don't know if they were going state, but I think, you know what, I think it was best in each state now that I recall.
Well, what we're going to do, Colin... I drove truck for a lot of years, and I've been and ate at a lot of them.
Yeah.
So I'm going to bring a list in because she was good enough. She said, this is it. I'm going to rate my 10 or 20 best barbecue restaurants that I ate at.
Yeah.
And
whenever Matt sent me this on Facebook Messenger, I responded. I said, this smells of road trip.
Yeah. Well, I know one thing in California. They're big into try something. And it's not bad. Tri-tip is what it's called.
Ah.
But they don't, and they smoke a little bit of briskets. They don't do no ribs. They don't hardly do any chicken unless it's whole chickens on hanging on a string and stuff. It's more of a prestige kind of barbecue, you know.
Sure.
So we're going to come in and do the right on. Well, it's getting close to wrapping things up here. The Mid-Mo Smoke Show is heard live every Saturday morning from 9 to 10. This show is produced in the Mid-Missouri Media Studios in Rolla, Missouri, and engineered by Colin Fisher. I'd really like to thank our guest today, Shane Carey from Peterson Oil, for being on the show today. Don't forget, you can always listen to a podcast of this show. Just go to our website at ESPN1073.com. And then click programming in the Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I'm Lyle Quast. Thanks for joining us. Until next week, we'll smoke you later.